Another selection of recordings from the new Royalty Cinema Bowness organ and the mysterious story behind a famous organist are just two of the items in the September edition of Organ First Radio. Saw the Amberley record label release a recording of David Shepherd playing the lovely little two-manual seven-rank Wurlitzer in the Rex Cinema in Stratford, which included these two items. To Be Loved By You and The Charleston, played there by David Shepherd. Now, of course, that little Wurlitzer has, since 2007, been in the capable hands of the Furness Theatre Organ Project and installed and featured in programmes at the Royalty Cinema in the lovely area of Bowness on Windermere. Last month, I featured tracks from the first CD that the group made, titled Music from the Royalty, and this month, the music comes from the follow-up CD titled Lakeland Serenade. Now, one of the people closely associated with the organ is Mark Latimer, and to demonstrate his handling of it, he's chosen one of John Philip Sousa's most interesting, mature and complex marches, composed in 1923 for the ancient Arabic order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, of which Sousa was a member.
Thank you.
Nobles of the Mystic Shrine March, played there by Mark Latimer, a march that is the only one from Sousa's entire repertoire that carries a part for a harpist. Next, we find Len Rawl comfortably seated at his lovely little style E. Wurlitzer, about to play The Man I Love. Played there by Len Rawl. And for the third and final extract from the Lakeland Serenade CD, it's the turn of Mark Laughlin with one of my favourite songs from the Muppet movie, The Rainbow Connection. And reviving memories of Kermit the Frog playing a banjo and singing The Rainbow Connection, that was beautifully played there by Mark Laughlin from the Lakeland Serenade CD, which I do heartily recommend to you. A total of 21 tracks and a running time of 68 minutes, all of the artists do full justice to this professionally recorded, packaged and marketed CD, full details of which are on the Organ First web pages. Now, in fact, there are two Organ World mysteries in this month's show, and the first came to light after organist Andrew Varley kindly sent me a copy of an LP by an organist I'd never heard of, and what's more, despite extensive research, have been unable to find anything about Norm Nelson. The sleeve notes indicate that this is his first commercial album, that no trick recording was employed, that he'd been in the music business for 25 years and was Gulbranson Organ Company musical director at the time of this undated LP titled Norm Nelson at the Console of the Gulbranson Rialto Theatre Organ. Content is very nice, with smooth approach to playing with close attention to the melody. Anyway, here is the elusive Norm Nelson with two tunes, Till There Was You and Lyda Rose. Thank you. Rose, played by American organist Norm Nelson on the Gulbranson Rialto Electronic Theatre Organ. And if anyone happens to know anything about the artist, I would appreciate hearing from you. For a couple of months now, I've been promising one listener that I would include a special item by Brian Sharp, but for many reasons have been unable to do so until now. The tune is Rose of Romance, which is just one of many compositions by my good friend and record producer, Tim Wills. This comes from quite an early cassette that Brian did on the Odin label when he was resident down at Sanford Park Holiday Centre near Wareham in Dorset. Rose of Romance, and in next month's programme, I'll be featuring a very rare 30-minute broadcast by Brian Sharp, so don't forget to listen in. For the remainder of the show, I'm going to be the bearer of sad news. News, that is, until a few days ago, I was actually unable to confirm. It began some weeks ago when I received emails from listeners asking me why I'd not mentioned or even included tribute recordings by Harry Stoneham, who, it was reported on Facebook, passed away in December of last year. Now, I've no time for that particular social web page and tend to take a lot of things that supposedly emit from it with a pinch of salt. It seemed quite strange to me that the internet didn't carry any commercial media obituaries, either from the national dailies or even any of the Organ World publications. Phone calls to the Musicians' Union and even artists who knew and worked with him all drew blanks. This only deepened the mystery because, let's face it, Harry Stoneham was a very well-known organist, having made numerous LPs, was the Parkinson Show MD for many years, and had something of a large internet following. But sad to say, the facts are that Harry did pass away last year. But why no official announcement? Well, I can only put that down to being that of a family request. So, for the remainder of the show, some music and tributes to Harry Stoneham, commencing with this very famous signature tune. Michael's theme, the theme tune that Harry wrote for the series of the Parkinson shows and played there by him on Hammond. Now, of course, in later years, the musical director for the Parkinson show was none other than Laurie Holloway, and Laurie has asked me to read out the following. Dear Harry Stoneham, I've played his music more than most. He wrote the well-known Parkinson theme music, and I played it often on television over a 10-year period. Harry and I seldom worked together, as there's only one pianist in a band. But I did appear on the Parkinson show as a guest, so I got to see how brilliant Harry was as a television band leader. He played the organ and was globally admired. So rest in peace, dear Harry, and know that your music will always remind the world of your talent. That was from Laurie Holloway. Harry, of course, was born in the 30s and started to learn the piano at the age of 7. It was the era of the big bands, and some of the influence of that period can be heard in the large, driving sounds that he went on to perfect, produce, record and broadcast. Back in the 40s, however, there was no thought of making a career out of music, and it wasn't until a spell in the RAF that this thought started taking shape. Once out of the forces, Harry started playing piano with many bands and began taking an interest in the organ. In those early days, he could be found in the company of a drummer by the name of Johnny Eden, where the duo played in the Plough Inn at Stockwell near Brixton, a great jazz venue at that time. They made one LP together on a rather obscure label bearing the title Two Fellas to Follow, and this contains the superb track composed by Paul McCartney titled And I Love Her. Played there with Harry on Lowry Heritage Deluxe with separate bass and Leslie 145 tone cabinet. The duo worked together for a number of years, a situation that is remembered vividly by Keith Beckingham, who asked me to read out this tribute. So sad to hear about Harry. He was a great player and a lovely guy. We met up on many occasions during the 70s and 80s at music industry trade shows in the UK and in Europe when he demonstrated Lowry organs for Norlin Music. I remember that he opened his demo sequence with Michel Legrand's Watch What Happens, played in his very distinctive style. Harry also enjoyed playing Hammond, and one of his finest recordings was made in a live session at Abbey Road Studios, issued as a CD. We last met at BBC Pebble Mill, Birmingham. We were both there to record sessions for The Organist Entertains on the Hammond C3 in Studio 1. The producer kindly arranged for Harry and his wife Yvonne and me, with my wife Helene, to have lunch together between sessions. Harry was on excellent form, chatting about his career. I remember him saying that the one thing that vexed him was the impression given that he was discovered playing in a pub in Stockwell, thereby becoming an overnight sensation. That was so far from the truth. Long before, Harry had enjoyed a successful career as a pianist for many big bands, including Johnny Howard's, and he'd got a vast musical experience under his belt. He moved from piano to organ as the electronic organ gained popularity in the 1960s. His stint in Stockwell was simply to perfect his organ playing style. He later became musical director for Michael Parkinson's television show and accompanied some of the world's best-known entertainers. He took all these achievements in his stride, and his Cockney humour and modesty made him one of the most likeable and revered guys in the business. He will be sadly missed. God bless you, Harry. In 1975, Harry travelled to Holland to record the famous Magic Organ, a one-of-a-kind three-manual instrument designed and built by Jaap Kaiserwaard. This was a multi-tracked recording on which Harry laid down four tracks, with each one representing a section of instruments. Back in the Abbey Road studio in London, the mixdown resulted in sounds such as this. By Joe Raposo, that was Sing, a song written for the children's television series Sesame Street. By the early 80s, Harry had teamed up with two other very famous instrumentalists, namely Pete Morgan on bass guitar and Chris Caron on drums. The organ is now the Lowry Coronation model, and the trio recorded a song made famous by a very well-known film star and variety artist. In fact, it was her signature tune. See if you can recognise it. Yes, indeed. Who can forget Gracie Fields warbling Sally for much of her life? And that was taken from the LP Three of a Kind on the HJS label, which would appear to be Harry Stoneham's excursion into the record label business. HJS, standing for Harry James Stoneham. As we all know, Harry could often be seen on television fronting a whole band of musicians, but few recordings exist of him with such a 12-piece lineup as on this Hammond Hits the Continent LP, recorded in 1973 at Abbey Road. Here's Popcorn and A Place in the Sun. Popcorn and A Place in the Sun, Harry Stoneham and the Big Band Sound. Someone else who has good reason to remember this great jazz artist is Mike Hall, who was connected with Elka for many years.
You know, Alan, if you're a certain age and was in the world of the electronic organ, being an organ fan, then you'll remember and remember well the name Harry Stoneham. Great musician. From my point of view, he was a really, really nice guy. And I recall some of the great recordings that he did over the years. As well as recording, he also wrote quite a few numbers. And I can remember he published a book with some of those pieces of music that he'd written. Some great stuff out there as well. Absolutely brilliant. It really, really is. And of course, the nice thing about Harry Stoneham is, you know, great style, very, very clever, slick arrangements. But that's to the organ enthusiasts. They would know the name Harry Stoneham. But the nice thing about Harry is that he was also popular and was known by the person that wasn't interested in the organ at all. Not everybody is into the world of the electronic organ or the theatre pipe organ. And I think a lot of that was obviously due to Parkinson. Good old Michael Parkinson, when I think back 1970s and the 80s, the music, of course, that he had was generated and produced by Harry Stoneham with playing the organ. And as well as playing the organ, he would also back and accompany a lot of the visiting artists from across the pond or from many places around the globe. And, you know, to do that is not an easy job, to get those arrangements and to accompany some of those artists. It may look very, very easy. It may look slick. And of course it did. But there's a lot of work involved, but he was a master at being able to do that and make it look quite easy. Later on, of course, he was also seen on the Terry Wogan show, where he provided backing music as well as music for that particular show. And I can recall seeing Harry on many occasions, and indeed became friends with Harry back in the 1980s. Indeed, at Elka, where I was back then, we got Harry to do an LP for us. And that would be back in the early 80s. We had an organ range out then called the Elka Evolution series. And we had one model called the E39. Now, that at the time wasn't the top of the range, but he did an album for us at the very, very world-famous Abbey Road, the one with the crossing outside where you see the Beatles going across. You still see that on one of the webcams today, with people gathered round it taking photographs. But he did that recording at Abbey Road Studios on the Elka E39 all those years ago. And he did a great, great job for us. But, you know, it's always difficult to know what to say at a time like this. He's such a great musician, great arranger, whether he was playing Hammond, Lowry, or whatever. He really did a brilliant job. And I'll remember Harry for some of those great organ recordings and the fact he was also such a nice guy as well. In fact, it was probably be rather nice, I think, to play one of those tracks from that Elka album back from the early 1980s. Good old Harry Stoneham. This is You Light Up My Life. Thank you.
Harry Stoneham and You Light Up My Life, and musically, that's just what Harry Stoneham did each and every time he sat down at the organ. But the final tribute to this legendary organ world star comes from Dave Smith, for it was he who really and truthfully helped me find out the truth behind this story of Harry passing away. It seems that Dennis Houlihan, who was Harry's boss in the Lowry days, received an email from Harry's wife, Yvonne, on Wednesday, the 9th of January of this year, announcing that Harry had passed away back in December of last year. It would appear that Harry had been admitted to hospital on the 2nd of November, as an injury to his leg was not healing to the doctor's satisfaction. The required treatment was administered and recovery appeared positive, but although the injury improved and Harry could move his leg without pain, complications related to a heart condition led to problems from which he never recovered. He was not alone when he passed away in December, but the family didn't want to cast sadness at Christmas time and delayed sending the news. But as Dave Smith indicates, it was important for Dennis Houlihan to get some kind of recognition for Harry, and so a tribute was included in the American Annual NAMMS exhibition in Anaheim. Finally, Dave Smith says, and truthfully it is too, that he, Jerry Allen and Harry Stoneham were the greatest of the Lowry organ demonstrators. Regrettably, until today's Organ First programme, there's been no mention in the English organ world of the contribution that this great artist played. Now, in 1991, Harry Stoneham fronted a band, and it appeared in the famous BBC series Music While You Work. To my knowledge, no recordings of it exist, but one recording in that series by an organist most certainly does, and so, if you don't want to miss a full 30 minutes of Brian Sharp, his organ and things, remember to join me here on Organ First Radio next month. But taking us out of this month, here is Harry Stoneham at the Hammond B3 with Pete Morgan on double bass, Terry Jenkins on drums, and with a bunch of very appreciative and lucky invitees at Abbey Road Studio in 1992. From yours truly, Alan Ashton, as ever, bye for now. Thank you.